think they're still playing. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome you to this time of worship and with thanksgiving just for the blessings God has given us through the week and to come together again to share how we've been touched and blessed and helped by the Lord through the week when we're apart. It's always wonderful to be back together again. If you're visiting today, we welcome you and ask that you'll fill out one of those green slips that's in the pew so we have a record of your time with us. It lets us stay in touch with you as well. Our call to worship today is number 346 in the hymnal. It's right before our opening hymn. So if you'd look there at 346, we'll stand together as you are able and read this responsively. Number 346. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Thank you, Father, for your amazing love.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you, Father, for your amazing love. Please turn in your hymnals to number 347, and Can It Be?
Thank you.
love is amazing. We thank you today that we gather in the name of a Savior whose blood has cleansed us from our sin, whose grace has removed our guilt, whose love has set us free to serve you and to live as your children who have been taught together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to greet one another, especially if you were in the 9:30 service and others were in the 11. You may not know each other. Please find someone and express your greeting.
As you return to your seats, I do want to point out some things that are in the bulletin. Two announcements are on inserts. One is the Story Hour and Open House, the 26th of August. That's, I think, this Wednesday. The Christian Children's Center. And notice that Michelle Christian is going to be here to read and sign probably books that she has written, Sunny the Sneaker. So please, if you don't have a child of your own who is in this age group, please pass this on to a neighbor or someone else in your family. The Christian Children's Center is a great ministry of this church, and it can reach more children if they will come and be enrolled and share in that learning time. So please pass this on as you are able. And the other is the War Room information about the movie that's going to be shown at Hanover Mall Cinema August 28th. I think Bob might want to say a little more about that because the group we're going to go. But inside the bulletin, you'll see various things. Heartline is looking for volunteers to do visiting. We want you to certainly spread the word about the August or September 13th, the new Sunday schedule for 9 o'clock church, school, and worship at 10:15. Other announcements in here and opportunities for you to take part in. Cindy, do you want to say anything about the concert on August 30th? Any other announcements?
We we went to the Red Sox game on Friday night, and we brought a victory with us to the Red Sox. I think it was their fourth game in a row. I don't know, did they play yesterday? Did they win? Well, at least they won with us there. It was a great night. We had a lot of fun. We had young to old there. We had a great turnout of folks from not only our church, but other churches that came along with us. And we had a bus courtesy of Mark Nugent and First Student, and they've been wonderful to us. So we're just so thankful for that, and thankful that we can go and have fellowship together at the game like that each year. And as Pastor Mike said, this coming Friday night, I'm not sure the times, but it's at Hanover Mall. There's probably a 7 o'clock-ish showing of the War Room. And we're going to all show up down in Hanover Mall if you'd like to come. And you know, whoever wants to come can just come buy their ticket. And if we see each other, we'll sit together, and that'd be great. We'll have a good time with that. It's supposed to be a very good movie. It's put out by the same people as put out Fireproof and Courageous, if you've seen those movies, which were terrific movies, both of them. And Christian movies have improved through the years, I think, and those are two great examples of that. And we look forward to that this Friday night. And then, so that's open to anybody, families, kids. I think it's rated PG, so it's got some pretty good stuff in it. It won't be, you know, harmful to kids probably, you know. So I think it'll be a great theme, and we'd love to see you out for that. And then Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're meeting over at my house, and we're going to be in the field across the street from my house. It's going to be a potluck. We're hosting another church, Abundant Life from Braintree. We do things with them. They came along with us and to the game, for instance, on Friday night, and we're going to be doing that. It's going to be food, fellowship, frisbee, and, of course, fun is included with all that. Goes without saying, but we'll have a great time there at 2 o'clock. Then we're going to migrate from there to here at 5:30 to hear the concert. It's going to be great, and like Cindy said, we're looking forward to a good night there too. So if you have any questions at all about any of these things, please see me or Rick or Sarah or Ellen about those things, and Mike Collins for that matter, sorry, but any of us can answer more questions about those things. But we're looking forward to the fall. We have a lot of things coming up, and we'll let you know about those things. Thanks. We have a different guy reading scripture to you today than the announcement. We had to pass the baton from him. We look a lot alike, but he's a little absent-minded. Turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. In the Pew Bible, it's page 114. Exodus chapter 17, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 for our Old Testament reading today. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" May God bless the reading of his word.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 562, "Be Thou My Vision."
prayer concerns that you've written down on those green slips. Several to share with you today. Pray for Bruce, who's one of the Blanchard boys who went in the hospital from heart problems, had a stent put in and came home and then went back in yesterday because of discomfort. That's from Bob. So, Bruce, I guess you know the Blanchard boys. Some of you maybe. This is from Alice. My daughter, Heather Downey, having surgery on Wednesday. Pray that everything will go well and she'll have a quick recovery. Karen Seeley's mom, Shirley Hearn, will be having pre-op cardiac testing this week. She's scheduled for right knee replacement on September 11th. So we're going to pray for her peace of mind and for the tests and good results as well for the surgery. Prayers for the Wilkie family on the death of my aunt Mary from her two-year battle with breast cancer. Her favorite phrase was, do what you love. And that's from Krista Mina. David's father, Dave Nadell's father, Lloyd, has had 8 of his 45 radiation treatments with no adverse effects. Continue to pray for strength and healing through that time. And we have a praise for a junior's procedure that went well. He'll be traveling back with the band when they come. That's from Cindy. Glad to hear that. And from Callie, thank you for your prayers for Pat Lyons. The AFib is under control. He will have his gallbladder removed in 6 to 8 weeks and being released from the hospital later today. And we're happy to hear that. One other one that came in too late to the office to put into the bulletin was for a woman who has been on our prayer list, Ann Manis' friend Lois. Lois's daughter Karen has been diagnosed with something called chemical meningitis, but also has cancer of the spinal cord. So we want to keep Karen in our prayers as well. Let's be in prayer. Almighty God, when your people were thirsty at Rephidim, you gave them water to drink. You met their needs so that they could live and fulfill your purpose in their lives. There are many in our prayers today who need you to give them that life-giving touch. Your presence, your power, your healing, your strength, your comfort, your guidance, your peace. So much that is needed for life. We pray that in your great mercy you will touch these we have named today. Karen and Lloyd, the Wilkie family at Mary's death. We lift Shirley Hearn, Heather, and Bruce. And others, Lord, on our prayer list, Marion and Jim, Jean, Liz and Arthur, Debbie, Wilbur. Lord, needs that all we can do is put before you in prayer. We're not doctors, we're not nurses. We can't affect healing and strength and recovery, but we turn to you as the God who has provided for us thus far on our journey and pray that you will give what is needed in each case. That those who turn to you in prayer would not be unanswered. that those who come to you in faith would have their faith strengthened because you hear and answer their prayers. And we thank you for answering prayers for Pat Lyons and for Junior, for others on our prayer list who have seen you touch them and bless them and help them. We praise you for the good things you have done for them and for all of us, because you have put us on our feet today and given us health and strength enough to be in this place, and we praise you for it. We thank you. Our lives are in your hand. We can't add to our span of life by worry, by fretting. You, Lord, have given us life this day, this very present day. And so it's such a gift. We are thankful that we can enjoy a portion of it together to offer you our worship. We would open our hearts to you and to your living presence, your Spirit here in our midst, praying that you will continue to touch us and work in us and conform us more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus, this amazing and wonderful Savior you have given us. Lord, by your grace, may Christ be formed in us, that others might see Christ in us, that our lives would be a witness of how true and real and good and strong you are. And we pray that together the witness of our church with upcoming events like this concert and other outreach efforts would be clear and powerful in this community. That those who do not know you, who may not even believe that you exist, will come to faith and find the salvation that Christ offers. Lord, throughout the world, our brothers and sisters are often persecuted and hunted and driven from their homes and even killed by those who oppose their faith, the faith we share with them. I pray that you will help them endure what they must suffer, and that their faith would be a witness even to their tormentors and oppressors. That the light of the church would shine brightly, and the faith of your martyrs would encourage others to be faithful to you. We pray, O Lord, for the glorious day when you return, and all the hatred and violence in the world is done away, and your kingdom of peace and joy is established in its fullness. O Lord, when you come, may you find us faithful, praying for your return, living in ways that can encourage others to follow you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I invite you to continue the worship of God with the giving of tithes and offerings.
Please rise for the doxology.
Please be seated. Our consecration for the Pastoral Search Committee comes in part from a document called Calling an American Baptist Minister. So it's part of a resource that the American Baptist Church provides for congregations. When a church selects leaders from its own membership, the ones chosen are already known. But a new pastor usually comes from outside the congregation and so is not usually known to them. And therefore, a congregation puts their trust in the Pastoral Search Committee, who are charged to find and recommend a new pastor. And your trust in God must be higher still as you pray that God will lead both in the recommendation of the committee and the vote of the congregation. The committee members have already given themselves to this important calling by saying yes when they were asked to serve. And I would invite them now to come forward. And if you would just stand along the front here. Lorenzo is an ad hoc member. To the committee, we trust that you will serve well as members of the Pastoral Search Committee. Your commitment is commendable. May your own love for Christ and the church help you seek out a person of sound Christian faith and practice who also loves the Lord and his church. Yes, you are human, but you are human beings who will be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that together you can discern the will of God. So I charge you to pray for the work of your committee and for each member of it. I charge you to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I charge you to strive to be aware of your biases and pursue the pastoral selection process with integrity. I charge you to respect the opinions of others who share this task with you. And I charge you to maintain appropriate confidentiality in your work, even as you communicate your ongoing progress to the congregation. If you will endeavor to fulfill this charge, please respond, "With God's help, I will."
With God's help, I will.
To the congregation, I invite you to stand as you are able. I charge you to pray faithfully for this committee and for the one whom God leads the committee to recommend to you. I charge you to assist them in the steps of the search process by answering their questions, completing congregational surveys, engaging in dialogue, and offering your helpful insights and honest concerns. I charge you to allow this committee to work with confidentiality and not expect members to discuss any names they are considering. And during this time of search and call, I further charge you to give yourselves to help sustain the church's vitality and stability by your own faithfulness in worship and other activities. By your ongoing participation, I charge you to help this church become a more lively and vital witness for Christ, and at the same time, be a nurturing Christian family in which a new pastor will find friendship, opportunity, and a fruitful place to serve the Lord. If you will endeavor to fulfill this charge, please respond, with God's help, I will. I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward, and if they would, lay hands on each one of the members. I believe we have. So we might need to put hands on two shoulders. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you search all hearts. You know the end from the beginning, and by your sovereign power and providence, you accomplish all things according to the counsel of your will. Today we consecrate to you in your service the members of this pastoral search committee. We ask that Penny, Rob, Stephanie, Ellen, Mike, Doug, and Cindy be filled with your promised spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, so that they may fulfill the calling they accept today, and that in due time they may present to this congregation the candidate of your own choosing. May they work together in harmony, united by their love for you and for this church. May your spirit inspire them to work with joy, eager but not hasty, cautious but not timid, with diligence and energy, knowing that you are working through them and in them. And when their task is completed, may they rejoice and give you all the praise that they have been co-workers with you in bringing this congregation the new shepherd you have chosen for them. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of your sheep. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may return to your seats. The committee will be meeting, and you all may be seated. Actually, no, you're going to have to get back up for a hymn. Sorry. But the committee is going to meet after worship today to begin their task, and so we ask that you will continue to keep them in your prayers.
Please rise and open your hymnals to number 521, A New Name in Glory.
Freely given.
You like cats or dogs? Don't you? Oh, they don't lick as much as dogs. Well, look, here is a puzzle, 25 pieces of this cat. So inside, you'll find all these pieces. One of them won't look like a cat, and another one might look like a cat. But during junior church, you and Miss Liz can put them together. Then, when you're all done and all 25 pieces are together, it'll look like this cat. Which is kind of like God gives us every day so that we can live and become like Jesus. And every day we get a little more like Jesus and a little more like Jesus, and all the pieces of our life come together at the end and we're like Jesus. Because the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. Just like the pieces you're going to see in here are going to be just like that picture. It's pretty neat. So I hope you'll have fun today in junior church putting that together and other things that you do. Let's pray. God, thank you for the life you give us to live, and that we can put each day together like a piece of a puzzle that you have given us to work out our salvation until we become exactly like your Son, Jesus Christ, in glory, and we behold him and are like him, and we see him as he is. May your blessing be upon Isabella at the time of junior church, and guide Liz to share together and learn more about you. Amen. I like children's time. Philippians 2, 1 through 13 is our passage for this morning's sermon, and it's page 1827 in the Pew Bible. 1827. Paul's words to the Philippians, and by his Spirit, hear them to us today. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Let us pray. Spirit of God, move among us now, we pray, and open our hearts to your truth, that our hearts would be like good soil where the seed of your word can be planted and grow and bear fruit for your glory and praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it looks like sending the Environmental Protection Agency to inspect the water in an abandoned gold mine, something like sending the fox to guard the hen house. Somehow during this inspection, 3 million gallons of toxic wastewater got released into the river and has been slowly working its way downstream, affecting three states with its toxic environmental damage. The full impact of all of that wastewater, God only knows. But everyone knows the impact of good, healthy, clean water. And that impact is life. We taught that at Bible school. When you showed these buckets to the kids, that you could pour dirty water in the top and clean water would come out the bottom. Because somehow this bucket filtered out all that was bad, so you've got good, drinkable, clean water. So everybody understands the value of water. When they were married, my daughter Catherine and her husband Joey wanted to give the guests water to drink as they were walking back from the reception to their hotels. Joey's a Marine, and on maneuvers, he has this saying, hydrate or die, hydrate or die. And so they decided to put labels with those words and put them on the bottles of water and give them to their guests. But you don't have to be a Marine to know hydrate or die. The Israelites back at Rephidim knew that. And so they demanded of Moses, give us water to drink. Did you bring us out here so you could kill us and our children and our livestock? We need to hydrate or die. And Moses was beside himself. Poland Springs did not deliver in Rephidim. His GPS did not show an oasis anywhere close. And so the people yelled at Moses, give us water to drink. Moses yelled at God, these people are going to stone me if you don't give them water. Either they hydrate or I die. But then God showed Moses and all the people that he was among them. They were crying out, is the Lord among us or not? And so God said to Moses, go to the rock at Horeb. I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb and strike it with the staff you parted the Red Sea. This is really pretty amazing. These words, stand before, are the words that describe the posture of a servant who stands before the master to meet the master's need. Is the Lord among us or not? Yes. God Almighty, your creator, the God who broke the power and will of Pharaoh, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who led you by a pillar of fire and cloud, the God who has provided for you and brought you to this place, this God Almighty is among you as one who serves. It's amazing. But that's not the last time that God came among us as one who serves. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who did not count his equality with God something to grasp and hold on to and exploit for his own benefit and gain. Instead, Jesus emptied himself of his glory as the Son of God and took the form of a servant. And in human form, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Obeying the will of God, Jesus died serving us, died to secure our forgiveness and eternal life. Again, amazing. When the people complained and tested him, God might have said, well, then just die. But God graciously said, hydrate. When you have to hydrate or die, water is life. And so water in Scripture becomes the symbol of spiritual life as well. So Jesus tells the woman at the well in Samaria, those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And later at the festival where water is carried from the pool to the temple, Jesus said in John 7, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture says, rivers of living water shall flow from within them. Hydrate or die? Jesus says, hydrate and never die. You'll live forever when you hydrate on the water that Jesus gives. He made living water the symbol of eternal life that the Holy Spirit gives to those who believe in Him. So as He did at Rephidim, God came among us as one who serves when He came among us in the person of Jesus Christ. But people today still ask, is the Lord among us or not? They wonder, is God real? Does God care? Does God know? Can God help? When the people asked that in the wilderness, God said, look at the rock. Jesus came and God said, look at my son. And today God says, look at my church. Look at my church. Jesus Christ wants His church to be the clearest piece of evidence on earth that God is still among us, that God is alive and powerful and real and right here. You might look at a majestic mountain or a vast ocean and think, well, there must be a God somewhere, like the song says. And that God must be powerful and wise. But what about me and that God? What does that God think of me? What does that God want from me? What does that God want me to look like? Mountains don't tell you that. The ocean doesn't tell you that. But people should be able to look at the church and see what God has done in the lives of God's people. To know that the Lord is among us because I can see the evidence of the Spirit of God who has transformed people, who has helped them break bad habits, who has helped them restore relationships, who has made them loving and kind and compassionate and made their life a witness for the Lord. Is the Lord among us or not? Yes, because I see His Spirit, His wisdom, His love and power in the transformed lives of His people, the church. And yet how sad that so many people look at the church and they see only hypocrites who act all pious and perfect on Sunday and mean and ugly all week long. They see folks who go through the right motions at church and all the wrong ones the rest of the week. They see cliques instead of unity. Legalism instead of love. They even in the church can see hate instead of holiness and humility. And they see people that are more interested in being served than in serving. I don't know what you think of John Oliver. He has a show on TV that's kind of irreverent, I mean, and the language is bad, but he had an expose of some church televangelists lately that I saw, people that preach the prosperity gospel and that if you'll send in money to me, then money will come back to you. And so Oliver said, well, I'll send in $10 to this one guy and see what happens. So he did, and then he started getting letters, and the letters would say, send in your seed faith money, send in the $37 and you'll get more money, send in the $49 and you'll get more money. And meanwhile, the guy who's getting the money is living this extravagant and glorious, luxurious lifestyle. And he wasn't the only one. He was exposing a number of people who just don't have the mind of Christ, which was to serve rather than be served. Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's the mind of a servant. And Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. He's telling the church to have the mind of Christ. When Paul says, think of others ahead of yourselves, he's telling us to think like Jesus. Yeah, ask the question, what would Jesus do? And then do it. And Paul says, look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others as well. He's telling us to act like Jesus. Because we are His body, His church. And a chapter later, Paul talks about Timothy, who is just like that. He uses the very same words to say that Timothy's worth you know, because he's looking to the interests of others and not just himself. The mind of Christ is a mind made up to serve others. And so we pray that especially the pastoral search committee is going to be seeking and expressing the mind of Christ as they search for a new settled pastor here. serving the church. Son of God left behind the glory of heaven to be born on earth in human likeness and then take the form of a servant. And he served us. So who are we to seek another path, to be of another mind? We have been saved so that we can serve. Titus 2:14 reminds us that we've been purified from our iniquity to be a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds, eager to do what is good, because that's what Jesus did. He went around doing good, and His people are called by that same Spirit to have the mind of Christ and go around doing good as well. Paul's opening salvo of questions at the start of this passage forms a great understatement. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Of course there is. Is there any consolation from His love as much as you need? Is there any sharing of His Spirit to the fullest extent? Because every baptized believer is indwelt by the Spirit from their baptism. Is there any compassion and sympathy? In abundance. And you show that so well when each other are in need. All of that is a great source of joy for the church. And Paul says, this will make my joy complete. Be of the same mind. The mind of Christ. Christ came among us as one who serves, and so His church, His body, is called to serve. That includes First Baptist Church of Abington. Our Lord didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so in the name of the Lord, we come to serve the world. That is our calling. How can we truly be His church if we have another mind about this? How can we truly be His church if we want people to serve us instead of serving them? How can we truly be His church if we think we're better than other people? Or if we look only to our own interests? How can we truly be the church of Jesus Christ if we act with selfish ambition or vain conceit? If we're not obedient to God? The short answer is we cannot. We cannot be the church that Jesus wants us to be unless we have the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. The mind of a servant, the mind committed to do the Father's will, the mind committed to be obedient unto death, the mind of Christ Himself. The Israelites learned that the Lord was among them when God stood on the rock to serve them with life-giving water. And we learned that the Lord was among us when Jesus went to the cross to serve us with life-giving forgiveness and salvation. Today the world will learn that the Lord is still among us when we stand before our neighbors to meet their needs, when we look to their interests before our own, when we come not to be served, but to serve. On a nursing home visit, like Heartline is asking some of you to do, or a work in the nursery, at a community meeting like this coalition that's trying to address the heroin problem in our community, or on a mission trip to La Romana, by helping the weak and suffering, by caring for the needs of others, being eager to do good in the name of Jesus. The world will know that the Lord is among us. Paul urged his readers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and work for His good pleasure. Verses 12 and 13. Fear and trembling, that's that God-fearing sense that I have something that's so precious, but God is working in me. It's God, the Holy Spirit, working in me to enable me to work out my salvation, not to work it up. This doesn't mean that we're saved by the good things that we do. We don't work our own salvation up. We work out the salvation God has given us by the Holy Spirit. It's like that puzzle. Each day is a piece. And some days may be dark, and some may be light, and some may be sorrowful, and some may be joyful. But each day we put the piece together with the others that have gone before it. And in the end, we become like Jesus. That's the picture on the cover of the box. The face of Jesus. And we are conformed to that image. We're being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another until finally at last we behold Him and we see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him with every piece of our life in place, every day lived out for the glory of God. Jesus Christ was humble and obedient to God in the service of others. That was the mind of Christ. Now let that same mind be in you. And then people will see that the Lord really is among us. And who knows what will happen here then. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, enthroned in glory at the right hand of God the Father, given the name above every name, we are eager for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And thankful today, on this day, that you give us the opportunity to represent you, to bear witness to you, to live like you in the world. May your living Spirit who dwells in us enable us to express the mind of Christ, thinking the thoughts of Christ and desiring the desires of Christ and pursuing the vision and goals of Jesus Christ till that glorious day when we behold him face to face and discover that we are like him. Amen. Shine, Jesus, shine is our final hymn today, our hymn of response, number 431 in the hymnal. 431. Shine, Jesus, shine. Will you stand as you're able? good today. Let's receive God's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that your life may be a light shining in the dark world, expressing the mind of Christ in all that you do. Amen.